Alrighty, alrighty. Sabbath blessings, everyone. How's that sound? We got to do that mic check to make sure it's coming in loud and clear for everyone. That's a yee, a yay. Alright, thanks there, Brother Joe. Appreciate it. Sounds good. So again, Sabbath blessings to you all. I hope you're having a beautiful and blessed Sabbath day, wherever you are in your neck of the woods. I do want to try something different. Open up with some praise. My mom, she was part of many that were affected by the winter storm. She lives in Mississippi. And they were without lights for the majority of this week. No lights, no water, no heat at her home. So she had to spend a couple of days at my grandma's house. It was also affecting a few of my other aunts as well. But definitely want to praise God because she just got her lights back on yesterday. She got her lights back on after this long, long week of not having the power, that she has her lights back on. That's just something we don't get in Mississippi. We do not get that. And I was talking with her earlier in the week where we were talking about back in the mid-90s, I want to say it was like 93, 94, where we had this ice storm that came through and it knocked out lights for a while. But at that time, my stepfather, he had a wood-burning stove. He had a wood-burning stove, so we were able to maintain heat. But it kind of takes you back, you know. You don't have the lights. You go back to ways of being less dependent on electricity. And I think a lot of people now, especially those in Texas, are experiencing what it's like to when they're having these kind of issues that they're facing, not being self-sufficient. When you have an entire home that's ran off electricity, when the heat is ran off electricity, the water, everything, once that power goes out, that's it. That is it. And you see a lot of these stores where these people are waiting in lines. I mean, these lines are so long. I got a couple of videos I'm going to post on the Telegram a little later. And these lines are long where people are going into some of these stores. And not to mention, it's still cold outside. I mean, just frigid temperatures. And the people are only being allowed to get maybe like 15 items apiece. And when I say these lines are long, they are massive. They are very, very massive. So you add that, you got a people who are experiencing the water shortages. Their pipes are not properly insulated. You know, their pipes are freezing. So when those pipes begin to thaw, they burst. They burst. So this issue that's going on in Texas says they're going to be experiencing it for a while. Now, me, my personal opinion, you know, it just does not seem organic. It seems more to it than what meets the eye. This is just me. Everybody has their own opinion, but I'm just seeing things that just seem kind of odd. They do, you know, versus people who live in the north who are accustomed to colder temperatures. You know, how often, you know, winter comes every single year. Every single year they experience the cold weather. Yet when it comes to electricity, they still have lights. You know, I just found it kind of odd. I mean, the same thing happened overseas. I think it was in the UK where they experienced some unseasonably cold temperatures, and the next thing you know, the power went out. So maybe it has something to do with this whole dark winter they're promising. I don't know, but it just seems kind of odd. It does all of this. But still, keep those folks in Texas in prayer. It's not just the state of Texas, but a lot of areas that were affected by this winter storm. again, I'm just going back to my mom and thinking about her because, you know, I know where she lives and that house from where we come from. And being without any source of heat in that home, it gets cold quick. It gets cold very, very quick in that house. And now to be able to have the power back on, and she's able to go back home and be back in her living space. I definitely want to praise God on that, even though she always knows that this door is open. This door is open. She want to come see her son. That is open because in the event that the light goes out here, there's a fireplace. There is a fireplace. So that's something that I thought about when I'm looking for a place to reside here in the countryside. Those more means of being self-sufficient, having the well water, having the fireplace, and even if that electricity does go out, hey, you can still get to that pump. You can get to it. You can get to it. If the lights go out, you can still be able to draw up water. There are ways. There are ways. And even in my neck of the woods, even though majority of the country was experiencing the winter storm, here it was rain. It rained just about every single day. Every single day. And yesterday, praise the Lord, yesterday, finally the sun peeked his head. Came out right before sundown. Right before sundown. Getting ready to get off of work. And they opened up the door at the center where I work. And the sun was out. It was out. It was not out around noon. It was not out. It was still like a dark, dark area, dark clouds over our workspace. But it finally came out. And today it is bright and sunny. So here it is. Here it is on the Sabbath day where the sun is out. The sun is out. So definitely want to praise God because it is just, I don't know, we experience those rainy climates. I don't know how people in Seattle up there in like the Pacific Northwest, I don't know how they do it. Or it just rains and rains and rains and rains on the majority of the year. So just having that kind of weather here in our area for that week, it just gets you in a kind of funky, you know, where you just want to be inside. I like being outdoors. I like being outdoors. But just experiencing that for that time being, it kind of, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, put it in the press mode, so to speak, but you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, like, when is it going to be over? When is it going to be over? But it could be worse. It could be worse. But definitely, definitely thankful in that regard that it has ceased. The sun is back out again. We're just waiting because in about another month or so, Lord willing, and that warm weather shall return. But again, I'm looking at all of this and I'm just, you know, just evaluating everything. You kind of look at what's going on in our world, everything, and just kind of putting it all together with a prophetic eye, so to speak. And what I'm noticing with all of this, with the COVID, with the disasters, I mean, they're just slow rolling people. They're slow rolling people into this whole great reset, the NWO. I mean, we got the vaccines that are taking out the elderly. I mean, I see so many stories, so many articles, what's going on in these nursing homes. It's all targeted towards those who are, you know, in their 70s and 80s, who have those great minds who can see this stuff for what it is. But now, because of COVID, you can't have, you know, family members come and visit them. So they're pretty much under the influence and care of these doctors, and are giving these people these vaccines, and the news is not reporting that they're dying. They're dying from these vaccines. Well, if you got this new president, who comes in, and things are just getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, this guy is just full of hypocrisy. So many contradictions, and people still fall for the things that he says and preaches. I mean, one day he says, what Trump isn't doing enough to combat the virus. And then he goes out and says just a few days later, there's nothing I can do about it. So which one is it? I mean, not to go off topic, but I seriously believe that come 2025, because we have, you know, Trump is already talking in 2024 is going to make another run. But I seriously believe that Trump is going to be this president to bring America back to God, seeing that all this moral depravity that we are experiencing right now continues to experience, and he's going to be the one to bring them back to God. And with that comes that Sunday law. I mean, that's just how close we are. That's how close. But again, not putting dates or timestamps on everything, but you can just look at the shaping of events. I mean, the signs are evident on what's going on. Yes, there you go. There you go there, Brother Alex. He's a Jesuit. He's a Jesuit of the whole military order. So all of this, is they are trained. They put people in position. I mean, Jesuits, they're all over the world. They're in the churches, in the schools. How much they control is unreal. Unreal. So they know what to say and when to say it in the right way to influence. They are trained. They are trained to sway the people in certain directions. And you can see all of this. They're just working hand in hand. All of it. Yeah, I can just imagine these people behind closed doors just looking at the majority of the people, you know, wearing the masks, just following the orders and just laughing. I mean, I'm not saying this as an understatement, but just looking at them as a whole. Like, all we got to do is just do a few things here and a few things there, and the people just conform like that. Like that. Instantly. I mean, the signs are evident. They are evident. I mean, the movements that Biden has been ordered to make are eye-opening, to say the least, and I say ordered to make. And just more and more reasons to avoid the political theater. I mean, you remember how Biden promised these $2,000 stimulus checks and or full erasure of student debt. People fell for it. And they voted for him, and none of those things have come to pass. Well, he's passed these executive orders to give more of the LGBT, LMNOP community more and more rights, just like Obama did. And he has done nothing for minorities. Nothing. You can see all these gas prices are rising. They're going up. I know my naked woods. I'm looking like, whoa, what's going on here? And Something's not right, but they're rising. Jobs that were decimated once he came into office. Right now, we have troops in Syria. Why do we have troops in Syria? Why? Just more and more, you know, wars and rumors of wars. Yet right here in Texas and in the majority of the South, we haven't heard nothing from the president. No kind of national emergency. I mean, people are without lights. I mean, it's just not like a couple of thousand. These are millions of people without power, heat, or water in their homes. Nothing. You haven't heard nothing from the White House about the push to take care of the poor and minorities, but you can pass bills for people to give money to illegals, money to immigrants, to take care of them. So instead of taking care of your own, you take care of others. This is just like a parent that's taking care of other people's children rather than taking care of their own children. I mean, it makes no sense, but this is what's going on right now. But how about all that push that Biden said over and over and over, all the things that Trump is doing, oh, he's acting like a dictator, he's a dictator, yet it's just a few days of coming into office, it's how many executive orders did he sign? How many? How many did he sign? You see, history, as a matter of fact, it was more than any president in history. And it's so sad because people just do not see it or refuse to see it. The TV has them that programmed. It really, really does. It has them programmed. And I can't stand it. Everything in the fake mainstream and the people, they treat what's on television as gospel. I mean, seriously, have you ever had a conversation with people and whatever the topic is, there's usually some kind of reference to a movie oh, I remember that happening in that movie, or I remember that happening in that television show. And then you look at them, and when you don't know, you get like this weird look, like you're from another planet or something, which, you know, technically you are. You know, it's just strange. It really, really is. You know, being a pilgrim here. I mean, how many people know more about who plays for third base for the Mets more than know about their own son's or daughter's third grade teacher? To most people, life is fantasy. So the only thing that excites them is fantasy, which is in fact lies. I had a one-on-one conversation with a coworker this week who came to me in private right around lunchtime. I guess people are seeing, I'm not trying to, you know, put like any type of spotlight or something, but when you come on a scene, you get people who kind of come to you and they see that something is different. So I was having a conversation with this person, and they were kind of opening up to me, just telling me some things, and they just I can kind of see like the hurt in their eyes. I don't know what it is. God has given me this gift. I can read people. I mean, I don't know. I was kind of lean on discovering it when I did the ride share, how easy it was just to talk to people. It just came like natural. So I kind of figured it out. I'm like, okay, this must be something here. So let's use this and see where it goes. So I was having this conversation, and she came to me in private around lunchtime. We're just sitting on the bench. We're just talking. And said, all I do is work. All I do is work. I pay bills. I hate my life. My children are better off for their father. I want out of this life. And when I asked him, why do you want to end your life? Because the convo kind of shifted to the topic of death. She said, because nothing excites me. And I said, if you go on in this life chasing excitement, you will never be satisfied. The things in this world that excite most people are lies. They love lies. They're entertained by lies. They embrace lies. Their social media is full of lies. And by viewing such lies, they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves and are not wise. And we know where real wisdom comes from, real truth, real loves. It comes from our God, expressed to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Him is true happiness, true excitement. And this is why it is of utmost importance to abide in Him like never before. Especially with this wave of depression that is coming upon people. I mean, just wave after wave after wave of depression. And this will go into our SOP reading for the day. Continuing on the same book we read last week, You Shall Receive Power. This is February 20th. If you have the book. And the subject is abiding in Him, the importance of abiding in Christ. And she opens up in John chapter 15, verse 4, saying, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. All right, she opens up by saying, we need to pray for the impartation of the divine spirit as a remedy for sin sick souls. Seriously, there is a sickness plaguing our planet. Seriously, plaguing our planet. And that sickness is not COVID. It's not COVID, it's not Ebola, it's not SARS, it's not some new mutant virus strain or disease X as they're already pushing in the coming days or years, so to speak. There was this football play, it came out, I think it was on CNN or MSNBC, but they was interviewing him, and he was just being very, very, very bold for Christ. And speaking about, I guess the topic was about the issues that were coming on, plaguing America. I want to say they were talking about abortions or something. I can't remember what it was. But they had asked him what the issue was, what was the problem. And he had said boldly that it's sin. Sin is the problem. Why many things are going on, why things are happening the way they are. Said America has a sin problem. Sin problem. I cannot remember the name of that football player for nothing, but I remember seeing that interview. Sickness. You take your eyes off this whole COVID and see what the real, where real sickness is coming from. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, why would he talk about sin there? I mean, this man is sick. I mean, here in America, if you're sick, what do you do? I mean, majority of people, they go to their doctor. Now they're having symptoms, a cough or a fever, and then immediately they go to go get tested. They think they have COVID. They go get tested. But Jesus goes to the root of the problem. Why this man is sick? Because there's a sin issue. There's a sin issue. Verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye even in your hearts? For what is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he rose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Sickness. That's what caused this issue, was sin. In. And so many wake up every day wondering in their lives. Hold on 1 second. Notes are frozen up for a minute. Okay, many wake up every day wondering in their lives, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And what I found when talking with people on the streets is that the issues in their lives are the direct result of neglecting a plainly written, thus saith the Lord. Plainly written. My children are out of control. Well, have you introduced them to Jesus? My debt is through the roof. Well, do you understand the tithe? My relationships are awful. Do you have a relationship with Christ? My life has no purpose. Or have you opened up your Bible? Your life is loaded with purpose. She goes on to say, the surface truths of Revelation made plain and easy to be understood are accepted by many as supplying all that is essential. But the Holy Spirit, working upon the mind, awakens an earnest desire for truth, uncorrupted by error. Uncorrupted by error. But when you have churches uplifting error, and even worse, lies, then how can one find such truth? Headline. A progressive church in Nashville, Tennessee, is making headlines, headline for headline, for saying that the Bible is not the Word of God. I'm just going to pull up this this post that this church is making here. And it's sad because a lot of these churches are popping up all over America. They're popping up left and right, part of this new age movement when they call themselves progressive Christians. Okay, this is their post here. This is like a little Twitter post. No, it's just Twitter or Facebook. I think this is a Facebook post, yeah. This is a link from this site here. Okay, it says, as progressive Christians, we are open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. Inconsistencies? Really? Okay. We know that it cannot live up to impossible modern standards. It's pretty obvious that whoever wrote this has never even opened up a Bible. Open up a Bible. The Word of God has been tried, tested, and is sure. But even now, how is it any different? We strive to more clearly articulate what Scripture is and isn't. So they give these two tables here. And they say what the Bible is and what it is not. Then they give these 5 points. So, which one do you think I should read first? The one where they're saying which the Bible is, or the one where they're saying what the Bible is not? because when you look at this, you're like, what? It's kind of a head scratcher. But you know, just like what Brother Alex just posted in the room, the Jesuit infiltration is all over the world. So you just imagine. This is another seminary, either direct Jesuit or one that was trained in a Jesuit-run school, like a seminary. So we're going to go to the ones here where they're saying what the Bible is. And they say, okay, the Bible is a product of community, a library of texts. They say the Bible is multivocal, whatever that means. A human response to God. And finally, they say the Bible is living and dynamic. Okay, I'll just agree on the very last point. It is living, just as Paul alluded in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. But now they go on to give these points here and saying what the Bible is not. The very first point, they say that the Bible isn't the Word of God. So even right there, they have a direct contradiction based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Matter of fact, let's go to that passage right quick. I just thought I would just pull that up on their very last point. I'm saying what the Bible is. Okay. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder and soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. That's what a living person a living person. But we're also speaking about the Word of God. So right there you have a direct contradiction in their own little points on what saying what the Bible is and what the Bible is not. This is why it's so important to read the Bible for yourself, because what these people will say, they put it up here, and they will draw in people into error. They're also saying that the Bible isn't self-interpreting. In other words, they're saying the Bible does not define itself. The book of Revelation alone, as Brother Nick has even had an entire page on it. I can't even say it's a page, or it's very, very lengthy, concerning the symbols of Revelation. You see how a lot of those symbols are defined using the Bible. Using the Bible. But right here we have people saying that it's not self-interpreting. They're also saying that the Bible isn't a science book. It isn't a science book. So just disregarding the creation account. So what do they do when they get to Genesis chapter 1? What do they do? How do they get around that? I don't know. They're also saying that the Bible isn't an answer rule book. I mean, I found many answers. Many answers concerning what to do and what not to. A lot of wisdom just in the book of Proverbs alone. Yet this church is saying that it's not. And finally, it says that the Bible isn't infallible. Infallible. Now, where have you heard that same word used before? When it comes to uplifting the popes of Rome? So I'll leave this link in the Telegram a little later. But again, when you have people who are searching and they're directed to these churches who are saying that the Bible is the Word of God, then what are you using to teach and preach the Word of God? She goes on to say that he who desires to know what is truth cannot remain in ignorance. For precious truth rewards the diligent seeker. And how many of you all know and understand this? And I remember how it was for me when I began to search for the truth. And when I did, I had no idea about the mark. I didn't know about the Sabbath. I didn't know nothing about health reform, truth about hellfire, none of it. I had no idea, none of it. I mean, the most when it comes to open up a Bible for me was on the Sundays when the pastor would direct and turn to certain verses that would correlate to the sermon he was getting ready to preach. We would have like weekly meetings. We used to call them circle, where we would go to different members' houses, and we had a book. We had a book. It wasn't a Bible. It just had a book that had like a little reading in it, and the pastor would, or whoever the teacher was for that night, would go off that book and kind of put in their little thoughts as to what the passage was saying. And throughout the week when we had like revivals, same thing. It was pretty much a lot of prayer, a lot of devotion, but when it came to the actual study, so to the word, it was a book. It was another book and not the Bible itself. So getting the reading and understanding that me as a child, a teenager, had to go into the Bible myself and read it. It wasn't there. It was not there at all. So you get older and you understand that maybe I need to look into this. Maybe I need to read this. Maybe I need to know so I can get my own understanding. Even if I don't understand it, at least pick the word up and begin to read. Exactly, that's Sister Jennifer, what she just posted right there in the room. If the Bible isn't the living truth, if it isn't the Word of God, then our faith is vain. It is. And what do we believe in again if we cannot believe what is written in the plain written, thus saith the Lord? It took Nakia to present to me her discovery and studies about Freemasonry and the Illuminati. This was back in 2012. And he got me interested. He got me interested, and I completely took over her studies and made them my own. I was learning about the occult. I was learning about Hollywood, child sacrifices, pedophilia, the whole nine. I was like, whoa, this is some pretty deep stuff. I'm like, what is all this all about? I've never heard of none of this. None of it. And I was doing this while still engaged in all manner of worldliness that I'm even ashamed to even speak of. But I still wanted to learn. Because it was new. It was exciting. I never heard none of this stuff. I never heard it even come from a pulpit. And here's the internet, just loaded with things that have been hidden for years. Or at least I thought they were. So one day I was engaged in my research, and I remember, Nikia, she had this book. Had this book series called Left Behind. I never read the books because I did not believe in a secret rapture. I just didn't believe it. But I saw the movie. They had like this series that came on. It was ABC or NBC or something. I can't remember what it was, but they had it. It went kind of lengthy, I think. It was like a week-long series. Might have been even longer than that. They were showing like bits and pieces of the whole little series condensed into a movie from the book. Yet, even after seeing that movie, it just didn't sit well with me. The whole thought of just, people being taken away in secret, it made no sense. Especially when you're around, people who went to church and then you knew how they were outside of church. I'm like, there's no way that this guy's just going to just take you up out of nowhere and you're going to disappear, just leaving and your clothes behind, and the rest of the world is, it didn't seem right to me. Even without an understanding of knowing what would happen when Christ returned, I just knew that was not right. I knew it wasn't right. It just did not make any sense. One big thing in that movie was a talk about Antichrist and the mark. And that got me digging even more. Because I wanted to find out, truth about the mark. So I got on YouTube, which was still kind of new to me, around 2013-ish. I got on YouTube looking for videos about the mark and talking about, chips in your hand and things like that. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But still, if they force it on you, then why would God want to, destroy you? You're being forced to get this thing in your skin. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, all that stuff is going on. So they were showing, like, Y2K events, planes falling out of the sky, people getting in all kinds of wrecks, and everything's getting, shut down and just total anarchy and chaos. And with this whole Antichrist coming on the scene and just, forcing everyone to his, level of rule, so to speak. But again, I was going and looking, trying to find out, what this mark was, and the whole time I'm thinking, that it has something to do with a system, and he's enforcing like this, chip or something like that, to kind of label people as being his own. But again, it didn't satisfy me. It didn't. I wanted to know more. So that's when I looked for myself. But let me just read the passage. Let me read it. And when you're looking, and this is way before we even had, me coming into this church and even learning in about the track, saying that the mark is not a chip, anything like that. Just reading the passages in Revelation for myself, I could see, like, wait a minute, you can't worship this. You cannot worship a chip. It doesn't make any sense. It has to be something bigger than this. You can't worship a chip. So instead of trying to learn what the mark of the beast was, I wanted to see what the mark of the beast was not. So I started looking for videos, and that's when I came across some SDA videos. Again, knowing nothing about, SDA versus what I knew growing up, that I had certain family members that didn't look too favorable towards them because they were cutting grass on a Sunday. That's all I remember. There were some signs that was leading to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, going to the church that I attended. But as far as them going to church on a Saturday, I had no idea. I didn't know it. You know, they cut grass on a Sunday, working on a Sunday. And me growing up, I was taught it was wrong. That's all I knew. But doing my research to find out what the mark was not, I came across Brother Nick's video about the mark of the beast. I said, well, let me sit down and look at this. I don't know. And then I got to watching it, and he said, it was Sunday. And immediately, it's like, I didn't think twice about it. I did not think twice. Immediately, it clicked right away. Like, that's what it is. That is the mark. Without knowing anything else, it clicked. And this is what she's talking about here in this passage, is how important it is, and the reward, the benefit, when you are earnestly seeking, when you are looking, not just, you know, taking the shovel and just, you know, digging a little bit in the hole, and I'm just getting down there and digging and digging and digging until you hit something. When you hit it, actually searching for the truth, and God will reward you when you're earnestly seeking. He will reward you. She goes on to say, we need to feel the converting power of God's grace. And I urge all who have closed their heart against God's Spirit to unlock the door and plead earnestly, abide with me. Pleading. There's so many who are closing the door right now, that spiritual door, their hearts, they're closing it. But Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's right there standing at the door of your heart, like, hey, what are you going to do? He's giving you that choice. I mean, so many in the valley of the season, just, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? You know, life's not getting any better. Well, hey, have you tried this? Have you tried it? Sing a song growing up and try Jesus. He's all right. Well, you have you tried this? You know, give him a try. People are so accustomed to doing things on their own. She goes on to say, why should we not prostrate ourselves at the throne of divine grace, praying that God's Spirit may be poured out upon us as it is upon the disciples? I mean, how often do we talk about the latter rain here? How often in praying for the latter rain? Or even praying the prayer of Elisha for a double portion of the Holy Spirit? Continue to pray. Its presence will soften our hard hearts and fill us with joy and rejoicing, transforming us into channels of blessing. The Lord would have every one of his children rich in faith, and this faith is a fruit of working the Holy Spirit upon the mind. It dwells with each soul who will receive it, speaking to the impenitent the words of warning and pointing them to Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Going back to the Revelation again, this is why Jesus said seven times when addressing the angels in chapters 2 and 3, of that same book, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Open your ears. You can't hear when you got it shut out. And I think about the people I work with, and who I see on the streets. They got the headphones on, they got the earbuds, the AirPods. And how can you hear anything at all, when you're constantly allowing the world to entertain what goes into your ears? Pretty much shut them out. Or even at nighttime when you're trying to sleep and you got a television going or anything going, it's impossible. It's impossible. Got to have some time to allow him to speak. And you get that hearing by opening up and reading his word. This is the Spirit talking to you, prodding that heart. And Satan is doing everything in his power to shut up that voice. Everything. To shut up that voice. The voice that is directing you to truth. He wants to discourage you. He wants to distract you. I mean, consider what is going on in Texas just this past week. I mean, did you know that just days before this winter storm hit, particularly in the city of Houston, that this happened? Headline. Satanist group commissions 40-foot abortion saves lives billboard in Texas. I'm going to pull this link up here. It's a very short article entry. I'm going to pull it up. I mean, this thing is huge. This thing is massive. It is massive. And I'm going to post it in the Telegram a little later. I'm out to Sabbath. But Texas, it says right here in this article, a little excerpt from it. Texas represents the Satanic Temple's attempt to gin up controversy by utilizing maximum offenses in a traditionally red state. To that end, the Satanists commissioned a billboard along Interstate 20 reading "Abortion Saves Lives." And if that weren't enough, the 10 by 40 foot billboard also informs commuters, falsely of course, that our religious abortion rituals avert many state restrictions. This is a reference to their campaign to classify abortion as a religious ritual to utilize religious liberty laws in defense of killing babies. Religious liberty. Now, I know I've come across something referring to how Satanists view abortions as some way of some form of petitioning to Satan, if he if the pride that he gets from people that are destroying their babies. I know I've seen that somewhere. I may have that article. I got articles today, so I know that's somewhere. If I could find it, I kind of tagged that along here in this one. But yes, this is what they do. And not just now. I mean, these kind of rituals have been going on for thousands of years and continue to this day. Continue. I mean, praise God, many are beginning to be exposed. Many of these celebrities are coming out. They are exposing what's going on in the music industry, what's going on in Hollywood, the issues that they're having with child trafficking, with pedophilia, with child sacrifices. I mean, here, that is what abortion is, just another form of child sacrifice. And now they are putting it on the same lines as a religious issue. So you can see, when I see articles like this, it just leads me more and more into that direction where you see the moral depravity of America just going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. It's just continuing to sink to the point where they're just going to say, we're just done with all of this. We just have to reset. We have to get back to God because we see what is going on in our country. It's not getting any better. We're allowing this, this, and that to happen. We need to get back to God and just opening up the door for the Sunday law. I could just see it. I can just like look at this. I'm like, whoa, they're just putting everything in place. Everything in place. To where you just got people who just can't even deny what they're seeing anymore. It's like it's impossible for scoffers and mockers to continue to look at this stuff and mock it. It is impossible because right now it's right there in their faces. It's in their faces. And we see what's going on in our world, the depravity and just allowing the enemy to come in and have control. Just as Brother Nick spoke about earlier, when you allow these things to happen, you're giving him full access. Full access. And how can people put trust and faith in their leaders when you see who's over them? Who is over them? Who runs it? And all that points right back to Rome. I can't remember if it was Joe or Addison. Somebody posted in the Telegram this picture of these presidents. And it was pretty much saying that how all the presidents are all selected. And every single one of them was in a picture with a pope. Every single one is a pope or a cardinal. All of them. All of them. All in hand with Rome. Between the imagery, between the architecture, between the phallic statues that are in London, in America, within Rome. It's just, it's an overspread. It's an overspread. Especially in America, because those same phallic statues or steeples are just one on every church in America. They're there. And it's showing who they are aligned with. They're showing who their allegiance. And this billboard was posted, well, I mean, it's, hey, well, this article was posted on the 10th, so I don't know what exact day this, maybe it says, well, it says just weeks into 2021, so it could not have been up that long. But when you do things like this, are you surprised by what happened in Houston just a few days later? It's unbelievable. It really, really is. And can you imagine how many Texans, which this has been a traditionally conservative state, they saw this sign, and they failed to petition their leaders, they failed to petition their representatives to have it taken down and removed, but they did not. They did not. And that kind of goes on line what she says right here in this passage. It causes light to shine into the minds of those who are seeking to cooperate with God, giving them efficiency and wisdom to do his work. Yes, with the Holy Spirit prodding in the heart, saying, hey, this is wrong. This thing has to go. We do not believe in killing babies. It's better to take this down. But no, nobody said a nail word. And now those same people who neglected to take action against that sign are those same ones who have no doubt standing in these long lines waiting for something to eat, who are getting no help from their leaders, from their governments, who put in their trust and faith in themselves to stand in their own time of trouble. She goes on to say, the Holy Spirit never leaves unassisting a soul who is looking to Jesus. It takes of the things of Christ and shows them to the seeker. And if the eye is fixed upon Jesus, the work of the Spirit ceases not until the soul is conformed to his image. This is true in everything you do. Everything you do in this life. When you take away your eye from the target, when you look away just for a second, even a minute, that eye is no longer on Jesus. And that's anybody who has ever handled a firearm, anyone. I mean, when you drive, let's talk about what happened last week with the deer. I mean, brothers and sisters, I promise you, I looked down for just a split second just to grab my cup. Before you know it, I'm looking up and it just plowed a deer. I mean, that's how quick it happens. If you take your eye off of him, then now you're looking at everything else that the world has to offer. Everything else. And Sister White, she goes into this when she was describing in Spirit of Prophecy in heaven and the journey towards the city. And I believe how she was describing how Jesus was directing everyone on the path. And those that kept their eyes on him were fine. They were good to go. But as soon as they took his eyes, took their eyes off of him, and they were enveloped in darkness. And they began to stumble and search for the way that they needed to go. This is what happens when you're generally in darkness. If you ever experience like a total blackout, me and my kids were just reading in Exodus, and my son had asked me, we were reading about the plagues, and my son had asked me, like, what is it like, Dad? I'm like, what are you talking about? What is darkness? How can you feel darkness? I'm like, son, when there is no light in the room, let's go into this closet and just, we're going to cover this crack up. And when there's no light in the room, like, how do you feel? It doesn't feel good, do it. Doesn't feel good at all. This is the darkness that can't be felt. Now it brings along that terror, that comes that fear. When you take away your eyes off Jesus, that depression, that anxiety, the uncertainty comes very quickly. It does. This is why it's so important. That's why it's imperative to stay in him. And we do that by staying in the word, staying in it. Where your eyes are fixed upon him daily. Because as soon as you take it off, I can't even imagine. Can't. She closes here by saying, through the gracious influence of the Spirit, the sinner is changed in spirit and purpose till he becomes one with Christ. His affection for God increases. Now, yeah, because now you're spending more time with him. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And by beholding Christ, he is changed from glory to glory, from character to character, and becomes more and more like his master. And that was from The Signs of the Times, September 27th, 1899. So again, I will post those links to those headlines in the Telegram. There was one that I had pertaining to Biden, but I decided not to include that in the reading. But there was no, it wasn't Biden himself. It was this California Democrat. I think she was calling for this what was it? A troop commission? Yeah, that's what it was. Calls for this truth commission to establish common narrative in politics. So, yes, so this. Then they go to silence the truth by saying this is what real truth is, and every other truth is pretty much untrue. So, we can see what they'll be using there if this becomes true, pertaining to the common narrative. Everything's about the common good, you know, common for the people, for the community. So, I'll also post that link in the Telegram as well. All right, brothers and sisters, next Sabbath, Lord's willing, we will jump to, what is today, the 20th, so we'll be on the 27th of this same book, Ye Shall Receive Power. So it is the top of the hour, the 5 o'clock hour, and let me see if Brother Sean is in the house. Easy here. If you hear like a little rocking noise, that is my chair. I got a re-up pulse of this thing because when I'm sitting on this, my desk is kind of low. And just the other day, I heard something go crack. And I'm like, oh, boy, that's not good. So I want to get up on there and fix my chair. All right, he is in the house. So I am going to retire the mic. And the next voice you shall hear will be that of Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings, everyone. God bless.